Welcome to the Hobby of a Lifestyle podcast, a show that looks at how our passions impact lives and drive career choices. I'm Andy Gray, a former national and world champion kickboxer. During my shows, I'll be talking with athletes, coaches, fans and more as I delve into their world to find out what inspired them on their journey. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Hobby of a Lifestyle. Thanks for joining me. This week, I'm joined by Lucy Renshall, Team GB Tokyo Olympian, European bronze medalist and professional judo competitor. Let's find out the whole story. Morning, Lucy. Welcome to Hobby of a Lifestyle. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you very much. I'm really looking forward to learning about your journey and sharing it with the listeners. Lucy, do you just want to tell listeners what your hobby slash profession is?
Yeah, so I'm an Olympian. I do judo. I fight for Great Britain, and I've done it since I was 8 years old.
Wow, 8 years yeah. old. Congratulations on becoming an Olympian, by the way.
Thank you.
What an amazing accomplishment. We'll get to that later, though. So we go back then, you're 8 years old. What made you try judo?
So my current club coach now, Peter Blood, he came into my primary school. So I think I was in year five or year six. And he did like a 6 week taster, like block of judo lessons. And I was always super sporty when I was younger. I did probably every sport you can imagine. But I was a bit of a tomboy. Like I love football. I love fighting. And judo for me was where I could fight, but not get in trouble for fighting. When I tried it, I absolutely loved it. And then after the 6 weeks block I did, I just went to my club coach, his club in it's called SKK in Newton Lee Willows. So I just went there and started training.
Wow. So was it kind of after that 6 weeks block you were just hooked straight away?
Yeah, I loved it. Honestly, like I was so, I think one of my main things from even being so young, I was so competitive. So I love fighting, and I love beating the boys. Like it was like a goal of mine to throw over the boys.
So. I love that. Have you got siblings as well?
Yeah, I have two older brothers and one older sister.
Even better.
Yeah.
Someone to practice on.
Yeah, exactly.
So 8 years old, you fell in love with judo. Were you still doing other sports at the time because you're just a kid and you're doing it, or was it just like my full focus is now I just want to do judo all the time?
So I did a lot of sports in school, but then outside of school I did athletics and I did gymnastics as well. So my mum's and dad's weeks was very busy taking me like every day to a different sport. Yeah.
I bet they remind you of that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But now you're an Olympian, you can see it's all worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of get to give it back. So you're doing judo. Can you remember when you first competed in judo then, your first competition?
Yeah, we used to do like mini competitions at SKK were like an inter-club competition. Yeah. And it was something like that. I don't remember exactly what that's what it would have been like.
Yeah. So you're getting into it. How old were you when you realized you were, you know, you're pretty talented at the sport?
So when I was 15, I was selected for the European Championships, cadet European Championships, and in each level, so there's cadet, junior, under 23 and senior, which is the last one. And in each like stage there's a Europeans and a World Championships, which are like the major events. And as a cadet, I used to travel with the team and compete. And then after, at the end of the competitions, there's a selection for Europeans. Right. And I got selected for the European, cadet Europeans, and I got a silver medal there. Wow. So I was 15 then. And I think that's when I realised maybe it could be more than a hobby.
Yeah. So at 15 years old, what age is cadet up to? Is that 16 or is that 18?
I think 17.
Okay.
Yeah, and then
so 17 is then kind of goes up to under 18s, or it's straight under 21s.
So it's under 20. It's under. Oh no, it could be under 18s, under 21s, under 23s,
and then seniors. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty impressive to be 15 and win an under 18s tournament.
Yeah,
but coming silver medal at a European Championships is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's good. And I was really excited about that. And basically that was my last year cadet, and then I was moving up. When you move up to junior, it's like a big step up, but you feel ready. If you've medaled at them events, you feel ready to like make the step up, I think.
I've spoken to this to a few of the athletes who compete at under 21s, under 23s, and about the kind of bridging the gap, because certainly I know from my sport, from sport karate kickboxing, that pretty much certainly when I competed, you got 16 and that was adults.
Yeah.
There was none of the, under 18s now, and then it was in adults. But there was no say under 18s, under 21s, under 23s. And we will get into it, but do you find that is an easier transition moving into seniors if you go up in those stages rather than just going, right, now you're old enough to be an adult, you're going straight in with the adults?
100%. I feel like it's like a bit of a ladder, like you can compete at cadet level, see where you are, and then it gives you the confidence to junior, see where you are, move up to 23. And it's just little steps rather than the massive jump. And I don't think I would have liked to go from 16 to fighting really experienced, amazing senior athletes. And I think it can maybe like ruin your confidence a little bit, because you're getting thrown straight in the deep end.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, is the option, and this is just me thinking off the top of my head, is there an option to almost miss some of those ranks if you feel comfortable going straight into a seniors? Or is it the structures there where you have to do under 21s, you have to do under 23s and then break into the seniors?
So some people do. So I don't know at cadet level, but definitely junior level. A lot of juniors who are excelling in juniors, they do fight in seniors. So under 23, there's under 23 European Championships, but that is the actual only event. There's not many competitions. So people do definitely go from juniors straight into seniors and do both at the same time as well.
That
probably depends on like the development of the athlete.
I just thought I'd ask just so that people are aware of the options there as well. So go back to being 15 years old, you're still in high school, secondary school, whatever system you've got in your area, and you come back with a silver medal from a European Championships. You're now the second best competitor at your age category.
And
that's an unbelievable achievement. What was the response like from family and then friends within school when you come back?
Oh, everyone was so made up and so happy. Like my whole sporting career, like everyone's been 100% backing me. And even sometimes when I'm thinking, oh, I've just got this medal, like it's bigger to them at home. They're so supportive and happy.
That's amazing. I mean, can you remember what it felt like to be crowned silver medal European?
Yeah, I can actually. So I remember because obviously I'd lost the final.
Yeah.
And then in judo, it's literally you do the final and you're going on the podium.
Yeah.
So I was actually upset and really like nearly crying on the podium. And I remember one of my friends saying, smile because this picture lasts forever. And now I look back at the picture and I'm not actually smiling. I'm like, that's true. But I think that's just me being competitive. So,
and I think it's good though. You know, I don't really know many people who have won stuff who have been happy with a silver medal.
Exactly. Like I think a few days down the line, then you're like, okay, I got a good medal.
Of course.
Like, at the time,
I mean, no competitor ever enters a competition to just be a number they want to win. It's always a goal you're after, and you're almost you're not settling for something, because let's be honest, you've got to earn those medals. But to be so close to a gold medal, you do genuinely just
it hurts. About
it's not until, as you say, it's not until you come back and reflect and go, well, okay, to the outside world, a silver medal at a European Championships is absolutely a phenomenal achievement. But I totally appreciate that. So you've had a little cry on the podium, but you've come back as a silver medalist. And I mean, when, as you said, you've got to that point there, this is where you start to think to yourself, I can really push on with this. And did you come back and then really start to do that?
Yeah, so back then I was still training at home because there wasn't a national centre that was open. The one I go to now in Warsaw, that wasn't open yet. And then it was only when I was 17 and I'm now fighting in the juniors, and that a national centre opened in Warsaw. Yeah. And that's where I had the opportunity to move here, train full time. And like, because it's still hard, because I was back then I was still at school. I was only training at night times, but then I had the opportunity to be a full-time athlete.
I mean, what's that like as a 17-year-old for then all of a sudden this whole national centre to be put in place?
for Sport England and the powers that be to kind of go, okay, we now want to invest in your sport and make you a full-time athlete?
It was amazing. Like, I was super grateful, like, that I was having this opportunity. But I remember being, like, really nervous, scared, because all my family, like, even my brothers and sisters who have moved out of my mum and dad's house, they only live 2 minutes up the road, and all my friends are at home. So it was really, it was like really nerve-wracking, but I think the excitement was more there.
I'm sure your mum and dad were sitting there thinking, yes, I don't have to pay for it to travel anymore. It's going to be paid for.
Yeah, I think they was more happy that they had the nights back. Like, it wasn't just with me every single night. But I'm sure they was a bit bored after a while.
Oh, I'm sure they were. But I mean, it's an important one to highlight, I think, certainly for young people who listen to this and want to aspire, that the sacrifice parents make, even monetary sacrifice, to take you to a European championships, because those things aren't funded.
Yeah, it's crazy. So before my actual European championships, it is paid.
Oh wow.
But of course, like, the training at home, my parents still have to pay for it. And there was trips, like, to progress to the Europeans where my mum and dad had to pay for it. So, no, they had to pay for a lot, and they had to sacrifice a lot, and they worked hard for it. But I think when they can see that it's something that I really, really want, they would never have let, like, it not happen.
No, I mean, and for you to be a professional athlete at sort of 17, 18-year-old, that's a phenomenal achievement. Talking about sacrifices then, you're kind of 17, 18 is the age where you start discovering going out with your friends and alcohol, maybe alcohol. Yeah. What sacrifices have you made then at that age in order to get where you are?
So do you know what? I think what happened with me and what was really good is I was really balanced. Like, I still did see my friends and I still did do stuff like that, but there was sacrifices. Like, I remember there being a judo event on one weekend and I really wanted to train for it, so I missed my prom in school stuff like this. There is sacrifices, but I think in the back of your head, like my head, I never cared that much because it was for something that I loved doing. So
yeah, of course. No, I agree, and I think it's brilliant. But I just like the certainly, as I say, for those young aspiring athletes who are maybe coming through, these are the things that you're going to have to decide upon, because I do think that you see so many people who, you know, let's be honest, but waste talent because they get caught up in what their friends are doing and peer pressure maybe they've got the talent but they haven't got the work ethic to go with it as well. It's not always talent. It's sometimes work ethic outweighs the talent. So I think it's important to highlight that actually there is going to have to be sacrifices. Okay, you might want to go to a school prom. Yeah. However, if you want to go to an Olympics or be a European or a world champion medalist, then these are just the things that you're going to have to do.
Yeah, you definitely do have to sacrifice things. I think if you've got the right support around you, like, it's easy to do that. But you do have to say no to some things, and it's fine. But at the end of the day, you'll get out of it what you put in.
So do you know, when you've come back now, why were you selected to be a professional athlete? What separated you from the rest? Was it just because of this European medal that you had got, or was it because of your work ethic? What do you think it was that made them go, Lucy, we want to now take you as a professional athlete?
So I think definitely, so my age, so I was a young athlete, I'd shown that I'd made progression in the cadet category, I'd got the European medal, so I think it was 2013 when the centre opened. So I was going into the junior age category now. So, but every probably month there was a weekend of training. The like national team would come together and train, and there was the British Championships and stuff like that. So I think it was all judged on a mixture of things. Of course, potential and already what you'd achieve. I think also the worth ethic and at the camps and training sessions, like how much hard work you put in, how much the coaches could see that you was like dedicated. So I think it was a bit of a mix of everything.
I mean it's probably a fantastic year for to get into that as well, because on the back of a successful 2012 Olympics at home games, the funding was huge.
It definitely helped.
So moving up into the next category, what was the next major tournament that you were a part of? Because you've said British Championships are coming around every year and you're doing well in those. What was it, European? Was it the World? What was happening?
Yeah, so then when I moved up to the junior category, so I moved into the centre at 2013, and then I was junior then, and then 2015 was my last year junior.
Right.
So that's a bit of a, I think, a scary year, because you want to show that you're ready to move up and compete at the under-23s and senior. So my last year junior, 2015, was I did the European Cups to qualify for Europeans and the World Championships. And at the European Cups, I did quite well. I won quite a few. So I knew going into the Europeans, I was going to be seeded number one. And when I got to Europeans, I wanted to win it more than anything. And I did. I went there and I won Europeans. And then I come home, and a few weeks later was the World Championships, which is obviously like the next progression.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a bronze medal at the World Championships. So that was like my ideal year, like perfect year, knowing that I was ready then to compete at the next stage.
I mean, I was just looking at some of the, you know, you've got under-21s, under-23 European champion. What's a Grand Slam then? Because I noticed you've got a gold and two silvers in a Grand Slam event. Is that something that happens? Is that like a block of tournaments over a year?
So a Grand Slam is senior event. It's one of the highest like point events. So in judo, to get on the ranking list, you get points. So a Grand Slam is like, it goes from levels Grand Prix, Grand Slam, European, Masters and Worlds.
Right.
And then, of course, Olympics. So Grand Slam is like one of the highest ranking qualifying events.
Wow. So to be 2-time silver medalist and a gold medalist, and that is obviously a phenomenal achievement.
It's good.
it's okay to big yourself up on this program, because at the end of the day, it's all about you and it's all about your achievement, all about your achievements. You've just been super consistent, really, haven't you? When you're looking at your medal tally there, the fact that you've won Europeans under 21s, you've won Europeans under 23s, you world medalist at bronze medal. Was that in seniors as well? So that full adults there?
The bronze medal? I have got a senior European bronze medal too.
Wow. Yeah. What about Worlds?
So Worlds, junior Worlds, I got the bronze medal. And then when I moved up to senior, unfortunately, I was injured twice leading into a World Championships. So I didn't go to the World Championships. And then I went to my first World Championships in 2019.
Right.
But I lost the match just before the quarters, so then I was out. But that was my first World Championship, so it was, I think a lot of people expect me to do more, but due to injuries and stuff like I've only competed at one.
Right, okay, but that's, you know, the fact that you're getting to nearly quarter for the round of last round of 32 in a World Championship, so your first seniors. When you go up from that under 23s into the seniors, are you really competing against many different people? Because I can't imagine that. I imagine a lot of people transition with you.
So So a lot of people move up, because obviously it's through your age.
Yeah.
So when you move from juniors to under 23 and you compete at that event, but then the seniors are, of course, as old as they want to be until they retire. So, but you do, obviously, you do fight them. But in seniors, there's different levels. So it starts at European Cups and World Cups, where the best seniors probably don't compete in that.
Okay.
So they're a bit of a lower ranked event.
Right.
And then the top seniors compete in the Grand Prix, Grand Slams.
So it's probably a nice thing again, and isn't it, to have those little ladders where you can just get used to fighting maybe some different people who are still at world level, but maybe it's not quite the top rank, but just getting you, easing you into those tournaments?
Yeah, definitely, because you can go straight from juniors into seniors and get the world number one first fight and just keep losing. So it is definitely a step in the ladder to maybe gain more confidence to know, okay, I'm good at this level, now it's time to go up.
I mean, even if you look at, when you're talking about that, when you look at your first fighter in the Olympics this time, were they ranked number 3 or 4 in the world?
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was 3. What's it like to go into Olympics and be told you're fighting number 3 in the world? Is it just one of those things where you kind of go, do you know what it is? If I'm going to be the best, I've got to beat the best.
It's exactly that. Like, I knew no matter who, so before you go to to the Olympics, there's seeds, so the top eight get seeded. And I wasn't seeded at the Olympics. I knew I could have anyone, and I have one of the seeds. So it was just, it was one of them things. When I see my draw, I was like, okay, it's going to be hard, but it is what it is.
And I mean, it was such a close fight as well, wasn't it, when you got the Olympics? I mean, it was only a 1-0 win, wasn't it, for the Japanese, is that right?
It was a close fight. I was happy with the way I performed, and I knew I did do everything to win on the day, and it just wasn't supposed to be, but
one of those ones, isn't it? And I think that certainly with combative sports, that people almost look at them, and you know, you certainly hear it within boxing, especially in the professional, you're only one fight away from your career being over. It's like, it's just not how these things work, is it? You know, you have that many competitions, that many tournaments, and on another day, that goes a different, and it goes in the other person's favour, or it's just an off day. As you said, maybe someone's got a little niggle of an injury that other people don't need to know about, and it just doesn't quite go your way. And the very fine margins between that win and that loss, I mean, a 1-0 loss is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think definitely in combat sports, I think it's harsh. It's sometimes it's really cruel, because a lot of sports, you can lose in your first round, but you're still in.
Exactly.
And you still can go through the repechage. But judo, if you lose, unless you're in the quarters, you're out, and that's your day done.
I know. And people I don't think everyone understands that. All the time, it's a knockout tournament. It is literally one fight sometimes. And
exactly.
As you say, it's a, and I suppose at your level now, there's probably very little high scoring bouts, because everyone is so technical, and it's almost a game of chess, really, isn't it? You're just waiting for someone to make that slight mistake where you can then take it.
Yeah, it really is. I think especially with like the videos online, like before you fight, you do video analysis, you know exactly what the partner does, and you've trained on camps with them, probably in competition before. So it gets really tactical, but
And I suppose this is why, when you're saying there, prior to going into the Olympics, that you only allow one training partner because of COVID, and because there was a breakout of COVID. Yeah. You learn what the other person's going to do, and it almost becomes counterproductive.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, so just before the week before I left the games, my training partner, we was doing 5 2-minute rounds with each other with a 1-minute break. So it was, so we knew what each other was going to do, but we was lucky to have like my training partners were amazing. So like they would adapt to my opponent. So they'd go left one time, right the other. So they really helped us before leading up to the game.
So when you were kind of going back, what was it like to realise that you were going to be an Olympian, you were selected to represent Great Britain at the Olympic Games?
It was amazing. Like, that was my ultimate goal from, like, before I even did judo, I knew I wanted to go to the Olympics in something. Like I said, I was really sporty when I was young. So it was amazing. Like, I was so happy. I was so happy to tell everyone back home, like, yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, how long before the Olympics kicked off did you know about this?
So officially, like, we got the letter officially about a month before, 3 weeks before. But the last World Championships that we did, we knew it was out of me and another girl from Great Britain. Yeah. And it was more or less who did better at that event. Like, so I knew personally after that. But it was official about a month before the games.
That's crazy, isn't it? And I bet you, because you're not allowed to tell anyone either, are you? I mean, maybe tell close family, but after that, it's kind of, it's nothing said.
Yeah, you have to wait till like the official announcement first. Yeah.
What was the celebration like when people found out officially that you were going to be a member of the GB squad going to the Olympic Games?
Do you know, it was more like little private ones, because everyone was so happy, but it was so close to the Olympics, and so we couldn't do anything. Like, we just had to train. So it was more like, you know, just personal gifts and personal messages and just stuff like that.
How proud are your parents to tell people that your daughter's an Olympian?
I know. They, like, well, that's all they ever wanted to. So.
So you would have been out there for the opening ceremony. Is that right?
We was there for the opening ceremony, but because our first guy from Great Britain, he competed the next day. So he was weighing in that night. So, like, as a team, we decide not to go so we can like 100% support him. So I watched it too from my hotel room. but it was still amazing to watch.
I do know what it is. This is amazing as well, because I remember speaking to you, Shona McCallum, about the Olympics in Rio, and she was talking about the fact that their whole team had said they're not attending the opening ceremony because they weren't there to watch an opening ceremony. They were there to win an Olympic gold medal. And I was just like, again, I don't think people realise how many people probably don't attend these events just because it's detrimental to the to the performance the next day. I know that she was saying, why do I want to be on my feet for 7 hours when I've got to run around for a match the next day?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what people don't realise. Like, the opening ceremony would be hours and hours long and you are just standing around. Of course, we wanted to do it. It's an amazing thing to be part of. But what the most important thing is for our performances and obviously competing. So,
no, I think that's an absolutely incredible. But I'm sure as a team, because although it's an individual sport, the fact that you guys support each other as a team, I think that's a phenomenal attitude. Is the word I'm looking
for. Yeah, definitely.
was 2016 Rio ever an option for you?
No, so for 2016, I was a training partner.
Right.
I think I just moved up into the like senior category. So I was still competing at under 23s then. So I was selected as a training partner, and I actually went over to Rio and was there to warm up the like two or three athletes. So it wasn't an option to fight, but I think it was definitely like an amazing opportunity to go out there, like get the feel of the Olympics and see the experience. So then when it's my turn, like I know how it feels sort of thing.
Yeah, of course. Do you feel like going out to Rio help prepare you for the experience this time as the full-time competitor yourself being out there?
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing it did was motivate me. Like, I knew when I was there in the arena, I like 100% knew this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be at the Olympics. And a second thing is, like, I was able to be in the crowd, like, feel what it was going to be like. So this time around, when I went there, I kind of felt like I'd done it before.
Yeah, of course.
Was definitely beneficial, I think.
Yeah, and GB, I know GB in general have got a fantastic program around that, haven't they? Around the next generation that come through, where they take them down to soak in the atmosphere, and obviously it's been very beneficial to you going out there and doing that.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do that. They did it this time around as well, but unfortunately, because of COVID, we couldn't have as many as normal, or they probably would have liked, but we still did have our training partners and they got the experience. So hopefully Paris 2024, it'll be good for them as well.
So now that you're back, you've tasted the Olympics, you're obviously doing fantastic at world level and progressing. What is the aim moving forward now?
So now, right now, I have a few weeks off, and then starting September, I'll be back training. I have my first Grand Slam in October, so I'll be training for that. And then it's really just get straight back into it, start competing again. And then next year, the Olympic qualification is back open. So
I was going to say, it's a very short turnaround this time, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So next year, then the points that you get from next year will go towards the seeding at the Olympics. So I think...
And how do you deal with that weight of expectation? Because there must be a lot of weight expectation on you now. The fact that you've doing so well at world level, the fact that you've now represented GB at an Olympic Games, and you know you were like so close with it in a fight against one of the top three people in the world. How do you deal with that, and also kind of encourage but fend off the competition who want your place?
Yeah, I think where we train in Warsaw, like we have such top athletes, like our girls team is so strong, and we train together every day, so we're all training for the same thing, some people were in the same weight category, so only one person's gonna go, but we just have to, I think, put aside like that only one person's gonna go to the Olympics and just help each other, push each other. And I think if we're all just training hard, we're all just gonna push each other to get even better medals.
Do you sometimes like slip donuts into people's food and stuff like that, and just like just to fatten up so they're not in your weight category anymore? I think you should have this donut; it's really good for you. It's carbo loading. Just get that in. I love that.
Good idea.
Try it. What would your one piece of advice be then to someone who aspires to follow in your footsteps, especially a little girl who's looking at Lucy Renshall and saying, you know, I want to be a professional athlete?
I think advice would be just do it. Like, some people think, oh, that's not going to be me. But you need the confidence to think, no, that is going to be me. So just train really hard, do extra, do what you've got to do, and just do it. Just do it. Go out there. And whilst you're doing it, enjoy it too. And I think if you enjoy it, it's never going to be that much hard work because you're enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant. Lucy, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today on Hobby of the Lifestyle. Really appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Hobby of a Lifestyle. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll see you next time.